ගරු ෆයිස මුස්තාපා මන්ත්‍රීතුමා, ඔබතුමාට මිනිත්තු 14ක කාලයක් තිබෙනවා.
Honorable member, as much as I'm a parliamentarian, I'm a practicing lawyer and a president's counsel, so I'll be able to look at things in different perspective. I rise to bring to the attention of this house certain critical matters concerning the system of justice in Sri Lanka, issues that demand urgent and meaningful reforms. One of the most pressing concerns in the process of promoting career judges, particularly their appointments to the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court. While it is customary for promotions to follow the principle of seniority, it is not uncommon, Justice Minister, for senior judges to be overlooked. Yet in many instances, the reasons remain unknown. Other public service employees enjoy strong legal protection when it comes to promotions. Every public officer, if he's not promoted or there's disciplinary action against him, is aware. But unfortunately, judicial officers are muted lot, especially when it comes to promotions to the Court of Appeal or to the Supreme Court. If their legitimate expectations are infringed, they have a right to be given reasons. If their seniority is denied, as a punitive measure, it must be after a proper hearing where they are informed of the charges against them and are afforded due process. Unfortunately, due process applies to all except to judges. However, for judges, there are no such protections. When they are overlooked, they are left in the dark with no opportunity to address any allegations against them. This is an unfortunate and unacceptable state of affairs. The legitimate aspirations of judges must be safeguarded, Honorable Minister. And a transparent system must be established to ensure fair and accountable promotions. Furthermore, judges must be protected from unwarranted attacks in Parliament. In the recent past, we have seen privilege being utilized in the House to attack various persons, including judges. So if anybody wants to attack another, not only judges, when you use privilege, you have to be cautious. Because if you use privilege to attack somebody, you are a coward. Because you are taking protection of your privilege in Parliament. The independence of the judiciary is a cornerstone of our democracy. It must remain untarnished and free from undue attack. In today's era of social media, attacks on judges from the floor of the House can have far-reaching consequences, eroding public confidence in the judiciary. So it's not only against the person, it is against the system. Judges, by virtue of their role, cannot respond to the allegation. You make statements against a person who is muted. I say it's a cowardly act. I am not suggesting that Parliament should avoid addressing concerns regarding judges. They should. But our standing order should be amended to ensure that such matters are first examined through a structured process. Justice Minister, if you also can look at the standing orders, before anybody is attacked, especially with regard to judges, there has to be a process before one comes to Parliament and just makes various statements attacking them. You are a young and dynamic minister. I'm sure you will take these concerns very seriously. We have a mechanism with regard to the lower judiciary, the Judicial Service Commission, and with regard to the apex court, we have the process of impeaching a judge. So there is a mechanism on place, but unfortunately, without resorting to that mechanism, you see them being tarnished in court, in this house, where they have no defense. So therefore, I believe that such cowardly acts of attacking judges in this house should not be tolerated by the House. Another critical procedural issue that requires immediate attention is a lack of recording reasons when leave or notice is not granted. Unfortunately, you also are practicing, you've been a practicing lawyer before you took this high office. You go to court, you argue a case in the Court of Appeal or the Supreme Court, there is no obligation to grant reasons for refusing leave or notice. This creates a perception that the lower court's order has the approval of the Supreme Court. When you argue a case in the Supreme Court due to some procedural fault, leave is refused. But the perception is that the lower court's judgment has been approved. It's a very dangerous road, but I think if amendments can be brought where reasons have to be given when notice or leave is refused, that will help lawyers and the litigants. This leaves litigants frustrated more than litigants, lawyers having to answer clients without knowing what the reasons are. I think lawyers are more frustrated than the litigants. As a practicing lawyer, both the minister and the deputy minister, you go to court, the client asks you, sir, monada mune kiyana eka apata dannne kiyana eka thamai kiyanna wenne. It's a very serious issue. Therefore, there should be legislation introduced to mandate that courts provide reasons when refusing leave or notice. That's something which should be taken seriously. Another issue is the Supreme Court. It is overburdened with work. Several factors have contributed to that. The Supreme Court being the sole forum for hearing fundamental rights jurisdiction. That also has to be reconsidered, whether the Court of Appeal should be given that jurisdiction. Then civil appeals from the provincial courts, earlier from the district court, it go to the Court of Appeal and then to the Supreme Court. Now a direct appeal, that has further burdened the Supreme Court. Then from the commercial high court directly to the Supreme Court. The transfer of writ jurisdiction to the Supreme Court under various laws. When the 1978 Constitution was introduced, the fundamental rights jurisdiction of the Supreme Court was limited. And the courts focus on cases of public importance. However, today, matters relating to the Police Commission, Police Commission, Public Service Commission, and even the Mandri Board, if you are to file a writ, you have to file a writ in the Supreme Court. It has burdened the Supreme Court further. So sometimes, because of the public service, in relation to the public service at the other commissions, the Supreme Court sometimes acts as a glorified labor tribunal, where they are adjudicating transfers, promotions, dismissals. They are burdened. This heavy caseload results in several severe delays and prevents the Supreme Court from dedicating full attention to matters of significant legal and public interest. Given the expansion of fundamental rights jurisdiction, it's time to consider allocating fundamental rights jurisdiction to the Court of Appeal. And also, that would give a second appeal. Today, when the Supreme Court is the final appeal, if you give the litigant the opportunity of having two rights of appeal, that will further strengthen the judicial process. It might be time, some may argue saying that there will be loss delays, but Justice Minister, take consideration of this fact. Moreover, bypassing the Court of Appeal diminishes its jurisprudence. As you know, in the Civil Appellate Court, jurisprudence is created, but when it's a Court of Appeal, it's taken more seriously. All our law reports, because one Civil Appellate Court will give one judgment, another would give another. But if it is a Court of Appeal in this country, SLRs are all based on Court of Appeal and Supreme Court judgment. Now with regard to civil jurisdiction, because the right is straight away to the Supreme Court, provincial High Court judgments are not reported. Therefore, in exceptional circumstances, the Supreme Court should serve primarily as an appellate court rather than a court of first instance. The government must introduce legal reforms to distribute the caseload more equitably between the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeal, ensuring more efficient justice system which protects litigants' right of appeal. The The Supreme Court judges with relevant expertise should be assigned to hear cases where they are specialized in. If you create benches, say a civil bench, a criminal bench, a bench related to public law, they are expertise. Today, if you see our Supreme Court judges, they have great experience, they are jurists, they have great knowledge in various fields. Today, in the legal profession, you can't excel in all fields. That's why, Honorable Justice Minister, you opted for criminal law, I opted to do civil law, because you can't know everything. The same applies to judges. So if we can create separate benches, their knowledge can be utilized better. So I humbly beg the Justice Minister to consider this aspect as well, the creation of separate benches with regard to specialized areas in the Supreme Court. Complex cases of say commercial nature are sometimes heard by judges who have no civil experiences at all. And also, judges who have in their entire career done only civil matters are called upon to adjudicate criminal matters. This is a very serious issue. While judges are capable of applying the law, the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, should not be a place for learning by trial and error. It is time to establish special benches with subject matter expertise to ensure informed and consistent legal proceedings. President, sorry.
Honourable Member, you have 2 more minutes.
And also, now if you take the recent laws which were brought to with regard to remand prisoners, there was an amendment brought in 2024 where part of their sentence, the period they were in remand were considered, and they could be released consequent to that, where if they served a particular period in remand, that is also taken into consideration. However, after May 2024, there was an issue. No, before May 2024, I think you brought a cabinet paper where Article 34 was to be invoked by way of advisory panel. I saw the cabinet paper, Honorable Minister, if you can expedite that, where there are so many prisoners languishing who are in their 70s, but this law, obviously any law only applies to the future. So if this can be considered and Article 34 can be invoked and the pardon process can be invoked, then I'm sure that would help us. And also, there is a law in relation to serving community service. Honorable Minister, with regard to serving community service, where in lieu of being sent to a jail, you can be asked to be sent to do community service. So if those provisions, there is law, I believe it was in 19th, I had it. So if those provisions can be invoked, if those provisions can be invoked, I'm sure it will ease the burden in prisons. And also, I saw with regard to prisons, over 30% of the budget has been, 30% of your budget is with regard to prisons and prison reforms. So if we can shift, now if you take the magazine.
Honourable Member, your time is up.
If I can have 1 more minute, if you can take the magazine prison. If you can shift that, those resources can be used, and you don't have to have prisons in urban areas. If you can create more prisons in other areas, the facilities can be given. If you take the conditions of prisoners today, they don't have basic water and sanitation. If some of them, after locked up, they take a bottle and go keep it in them in the night because they can't go to the toilet. So I respectfully urge you to look at these issues which I raise, Honorable Minister, which I'm sure will strengthen the legal process in this country. And prisoners, you are trying to create a better society, and they are sent to prison so that they'll reform. But unfortunately, what is happening today is the converse. So continuous legal education, training them in various skills. If you can give priority to that, we can make a great change with regard to how prisoners are dealt with.
Honourable Member, your time is up.
So I thank you once again for being given the opportunity of speaking your few words.
Garu Bhagya Sri Herat Mantri Tuma, Obatumata Minitu Hataka Kalayak Thibena. Garu Harshana Nayaka Karamithuma.
Thank you very much, Honorable MP, for all those valuable inputs. Also, I may want to bring to your attention that there are a lot of staff shortages in the prisons, but we have recruited 142 prison guards last month and plan to recruit another 205 prison guards this year. 400 million rupees granted to develop the sanitary issues in island-wide prisons. Velikat is also included, and the work is ongoing, working with the water board. Also, capacity increasing, Palakkale prison, we are spending 450 million, Veeravila 30 million, Maharat 220 million, Kaludra, Vatrakan, others 500 million. UDA gave 200 acres in Horana for the shifting, because not only Velikat is outdated and overcrowded, human rights aspect need to be looked after, they need more space. So I think very soon we have started, the groundbreaking project has started, we are planning to move it to Horana. These things are in the pipeline.
Justice Minister, with regard to courts, loss delays are primarily not because of judges or due to lawyers. It is the clerical staff, I believe there are over 1,000 vacancies, and also you can't get a photocopy, you can't get proceedings, if you can, and stenographers, if that can be given urgent attention, we are sure with regard to lawyers, loss delays, we can address it, Honourable Minister.
There are over six, altogether there are over 6,000 vacancies in all my departments, judiciary and the institutions. We are recruiting 753, including stenographers. About the photocopying issue, a policy proposal is being made. I don't want to talk about it now. But matters are being looked into. It will be done very soon with regard to photocopying issues. Thank you.